Meeting of the Otter Rock Water District Board to order on September 7th, 2020. We'll do our roll call. Let's do it verbally. Dan?
Present.
Pat?
Present.
Buzz? Lisa?
Present.
Beth? And we have no staff members present. And public in attendance is Patty Hart and Michael's iPad. Do we know who that is?
Mike or Janice?
One or the other, huh?
Or maybe both.
Or maybe both. And Grace?
Hi.
Hi, Grace. Okay.
Dan is also here as well if you need to know the actual count.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Okay. Our main agenda item tonight is to address the state requirements for water treatment. I would like to add one item to the agenda, and I'm hoping it could be quick. And that item would be to formally hire our recent applicant for superintendent. Both Pat and I have reviewed the results of the background check and both concur that he definitely passed. We're required to get a contract, an application to the state within 30 days of his hire. I believe in looking over the documents that Buzz, since you're the current contact, we're going to need you to sign on a space there. And so I'd like to get that done this week before Buzz leaves. So I would entertain a motion to formally approve the hire of Cody Howery for superintendent.
I move that we formally hire Cody Howery as our superintendent and operator.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Let's do this verbal.
Dan, aye.
Yes.
Pat?
Yes.
Buzz?
Aye.
Lisa?
Yes.
And Beth? Yes. So, motion passes. Thank you. So next, let's...
Beth, do we want to state the starting date for that? Since we've run over into September.
I would say the starting date definitely has to be in September. But I believe we could make it September 1st.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah.
As of?
Yeah, as of September 1st. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
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 Yep.
Yep. Okay, great. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Let's go on to addressing the state requirements for water treatment. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Thank you, Buzz.
We have, I just counted up, 4 months and 2 weeks. That's not enough time. So we're going to need an extension. But I can't really write a letter to the state asking for an extension until we move forward with a commitment to an official commitment to tell the engineer to start designing. And that's what I'm hoping we'll get done tonight.
Okay, so I think, Buzz, what you're saying is in order to write the, what we would need to include to the state is a proposal of what we intended to do?
Yeah, it'd be nice to say that we've already done something on such and such a date. I've talked to Dan a little bit about it. I know the number of $60,000 has been bandied about by myself as much as anybody else. And that it would stretch our resources to commit to that. But as I said, I've talked to Dan, and it seems like we can, the state would be happy if we told him we've authorized him to proceed in the design and committed a preliminary amount of not 60, but I don't know, $5,000, $10,000. I don't know. Jonathan works pretty fast and pretty inexpensively. So I don't know. I don't have a feel, but if we could authorize him to start and give him some direction, we already have money in the budget for some special projects, which since Jim left, probably aren't going to happen anytime soon. And maybe funds like that could be directed elsewhere.
Can I ask a question?
Say again, please.
Could I ask a question? I'm a little behind on this. So the state right now is saying that we need to have chlorination. I thought we have a lady from the county health that was helping us, and we were talking possibly about ultraviolet. Is all that gone? We've already skipped all that. Or do we want to do a study on that? I don't know why we're rushing into this.
We're rushing because the state has given us a deadline of January to be treating the water.
I wonder what happens if we don't meet that deadline, or we say we're studying the issue and would like an extension without saying we're committed to doing it, would like to look into these different areas.
The UV thing is not dead, but it's certainly not, I think it's a remote possibility. We still might be able to convince them that we can do that.
When I looked at the two systems that she mentioned, one is a fish hatchery and the other is a trailer park or an RV park. They're pretty small systems. And this, you know, I don't know that they necessarily got an order from the state requiring treatment with the residual as we did, but we will need to, we need to find out more.
Stan, can I?
All I know is for the last week or so, we've been putting something in the water and our water is horrible.
We have to buy water now.
We've never had to do that in the 50 years we've lived here. And it kind of bugs me. And I would probably ask the state, what happens if we don't do it? What are they going to do to us?
Take us over?
May I speak? Yeah.
You're probably going to move in with the National Guard.
Man, we've blown total coliform samples for about the last 3.5 months. And we had to bring that to a halt. We had to kill whatever is happening, the source, the springs, something in the distribution system. And what's happening to the water right now is that chlorine is probably coming through in a slug. I think what we're going to try to do is stop the total coliform from appearing in the samples, and then shut down on the chlorination and monitor the total coliform privately, not through the state, and see if just treating the springs where we can bypass the water away from the distribution system is the culprit. If we can demonstrate in the next few months that we can keep from getting positive total coliform samples, there's a slight chance, and just do the springs, there's a slight chance the state will let us implement UV treatment at the springs as a substitute for chlorination. UV won't do us a darn bit of good if the source of the total coliform is in the distribution system. So bottom line, let me just repeat myself. Probably after our sampling next week, we're going to cease chlorinating and we're going to start doing our below the radar testing for total coliform and monitor it.
Probably I would refer to it as in-house testing.
Yeah.
So
we're keeping a record.
We did it yesterday. Can I finish, Dan?
Yes.
We did it yesterday, and for the first time, we read those. When did we read those total coliform? Sunday. Yeah, we read the first in-house total coliform samples yesterday, and they all came up negative. And we were really happy to see that, but that was with chlorine in the system. We have to test. The state mandated test is going to happen next Wednesday.
Well, this coming Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And until then, we're going to keep chlorinating. But after that, the thinking is we'll stop the chlorination and continue with our in-house coliform testing to see if we can, if we've nipped the coliform in the bud. And if we can continue to do that, I'm repeating myself, but I want to make a point.
Just repeating.
That's the only way we're going to convince the state that we can get away with UV rather than chlorination.
Then it sounds to me like we don't need to tell the state anything for till they do their final test then, probably, really. So I don't know why we want to do an engineering report on it.
That's just time out. We are being very transparent with the state. In fact, sure. The lady that just retired is the one that sent us along this path. She's the one that made it possible for us to do our in-house coliform. And her replacement is pretty much up to speed with the lady that just retired. So we tell them everything.
That's good. I'm not saying you don't. All I'm saying is that why do we have to plan for chloroform now until we know whether we can do this? Chlorination until we know we can do this UV thing. Why are we going to do a?
Because they ordered us. Stan, they ordered us. They said have chlorination in place by January 21st.
Okay, so the question is, we were going to write them a letter and say we can't do it by then. That's pretty much what I heard you say earlier. If that's the case, why don't we wait for a week and see what happens with our water? What they say about it. We don't know what they're going to say.
Stan, you're jumping way ahead of me. I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Things will go on with what this program that we're trying to do. And if the board, we can't tell the state, we can't do it. We've got to, when we ask for an extension, we have to have, we've got an engineer. We've directed him to start designing. And the design for the UV system And the chlorination system is pretty much the same. It's a house with plumbing in it. And he can design for one and make room for the other, or vice versa, or do both. There's flexibility there. But we gotta get him started. Does that make any sense?
I hear what you're saying, that the state wants to do it, and yeah, we're gonna get an engineer to get it started.
Yeah,
and, but I'm just wondering, but we're still gonna end up having to tell the state that we've got an engineer that's gonna get this started for us, but we're still gonna need an extension. But it seemed to me it'd be just as easy to say to the state, we've got to hire an engineer. We're not gonna be able to get it done because it's in the middle of winter. We need an extension. Those are basically our problems.
That's exactly what we're gonna tell them.
You're saying we've hired an engineer. I'm saying wait on hiring the engineer until you tell them we need an extension. And then if they say you can't do that, say, well, we're gonna hire an engineer and see what he says. You know, you can keep moving along without doing it all at once. I don't know why we have to just plunge right into it.
Having the engineer start working on the design for whatever form of treatment we wind up with is a lot of pessimism as far as us getting away with not treating in some way. But having him get started is a stepwise thing. It's not a full-blown commitment to a particular form of treatment, chlorine versus UV, until we hear back from the state. But if we don't get the extension, then we are further behind the eight ball. I don't know if we get fined. I mean, we've got to find this stuff out. I don't know if we get fined. I don't know if the state just basically says, okay, we're going to take over operation.
Yeah, that would be good to know. I'd be curious.
They can do that, and they can just say, okay, we've found an operator who's going to operate and operate your water system for you.
Right.
Well, it seems like we've got something going on for the next couple of weeks that Buzz is talking about. In-house, trying to see if we can get the chloroform out gone. If we remove the chloroform, we don't need to do anything, do we?
Once they tell you you have to chlorinate, you pretty much got to do it. And getting them to change their minds is going to be a big chore.
Right, and I think there's also a factor that we had in that last email from the county was that we had the second set of bad tests would trigger another level 2 investigation. Is that not what I read, Buzz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're getting those negative samples yesterday will preclude that.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we'll have all negative tests, knock on wood.
Yeah, that would be good.
Next Wednesday.
So basically, I have a question for all of you. Has any of your water tasted bad?
Mine has.
Or is it?
I taste chlorine, yeah.
Water is not drinkable.
Okay, from someone who grew up on well water, but then lived in cities for many, many, many years, I can definitely taste the chlorine, but it's a very light amount of chlorine compared to what I was drinking 10 years ago in the city of Eugene. So, yeah, it's not good, but.
No.
As Buzz points out, we don't have a way to just trickle it in 24 hours a day. So we have to do a treatment with a bolus. So there's a period where there's some increase and then it tapers off. But I'm certain that people in the district who are sensitive to this, if we have to treat, and it looks like we're gonna have to treat, are going to be winding up filtering their water, just as I do when I travel through Utah,
right?
Just to knock it down.
Yeah, chlorine dissipates I used to always draw up water ahead of time to water my house plants. And at 1.2, I had the tropical fish tanks, and you had to do that. You had to draw it up and leave it sit a couple days for the fish tanks. But it does dissipate. So one option is to, you know, fill a pitcher and put it in the fridge for a day.
Well, then it dissipates in your refrigerator. So are you saying that that even once you start treating, that it won't be trickling in, that it'll be added periodically?
No, it would be. Buzz, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would be basically a little bit would be added continuously instead of having to do a once a day slug like we're doing now.
Okay, so are you letting us know as a community about the once a day slug?
Did
you alert us ahead of time, or did I just not read? Because I knew right away, I was like, oh, there's chlorine in my water. I mean, I knew immediately, you know, I could smell it. I always, you know. It would have been nice to know ahead of time, but maybe I just missed the message. Maybe I just didn't read everything.
I will accept some responsibility. I had the email ready to send out, which I did send out, but I had not realized that Buzz had already started.
Yeah, see, Jim was pretty cool about that. I talked to Jim about it. I'd contact him and say, Jim, what have you put in our water? And he'd say, oh, yeah, I did. I did something to the water. I'm like, please let us know ahead of time so that we can plan for that, because, you know, some of us are made ill by it, and it would be nice to know ahead of time. And I mean, that maybe that's an impossibility, but it would just be nice to have a heads up. Like, I get the impression some people knew ahead of time, and no, some people definitely did.
No, I didn't even know ahead of time. I mean, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know when.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wanted to get that email out Jim did not give us his special list. He told us he had a special list of customers who he always called if he was going to do any treatment in the system. But we didn't have the list.
We always got a call from Jim, always.
Yeah. I mean, he had a list of a half a dozen or so people who were.
I have a question about this. Since we're talking about emails, I just have a question. How many people gets this email about the Zoom meetings? How many people are on that email list?
It's 100. Let me look. Okay. It's
no, that's fine. I'm just curious.
It's at least 130 some odd, but
okay.
I can just hop right out and look at and tell you how many addresses are on the list.
Okay, no, that's good. It just surprises me that more people don't show up for something as important as what's going on. So it just seemed odd. It's always the same people. It's always Mike and Janice, you know, Grace occasionally, and Buck, and, you know. So I just thought it was odd, Jerry.
Okay, can we get back to the topic?
Yeah.
We need to discuss some things tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We have to kind of make a decision on what we would ask the engineer to start working on. How limited of a scope are we looking at? What are people's opinions on that? Buzz, you proposed a scope, several scopes, right?
That money should, let's just say magically $60,000 appeared, and we could give it to the engineer, and magically, and by summer, we'd have everything in place and constructed. That whole $60,000 would hopefully be compatible with whatever we would ultimately do in all of the scope options I mentioned, okay? So we haven't talked to Cascade since August 19th, Dan?
Yeah.
And he went on a 2-week vacation, and now I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. But at that time, we did talk about the chlorination, and we did talk about making it compatible, and we did talk about some reduced scopes. So he knows, and I did send him a copy. I copied him on that email about the letter from the one that everybody got about the letter to emails from the state and my accompanying comments. So he knows where we are, and all that's necessary is for the board to make some direction so that we can contact him again and say, can you start designing this for us and make it compatible with the big project scope? And oh, by the way, consider UV disinfection as part of it, as part of the plumbing leave room, so it's a flexible design. Those kinds of things. But we need to figure out how much money we have or readily want to commit to them. It's a kind of a chicken egg thing, but can we look at the budget and look at those special projects and see if there's any money that needs to be taken out of the reserve fund? I can talk to him, but he's going to have a pretty vague scope of work to do just starting on this chlorine thing. And so for him to give us a firm, he's not going to give us a firm price. He's going to work by the hour like he always does. Fortunately, his hourly rate is not very much, and he's very efficient with it. So bottom line is, need authorization to talk to him and tell him what we want to do. And I need to talk to him first and figure out what he can do. But I need authorization.
Buzz, when you and Dan met with him last month and talked to him in general terms about chlorination, did we not ask him a ballpark figure for what it would take
Dan
to design a system for us?
Yeah.
A water treatment system?
No.
For the
chlorination system.
Yeah. For that. The figure he said initially was in the range of 30,000 to 50,000.
No, this is, you're talking about the whole system. I'm talking about asking him to present us with a design.
His design fee? Is that what you're asking? He's not going to give us that.
Pardon me?
He won't give us that until he's had a chance to scope out what it is he has to do. He'll give us a proposal, but he's going to be working by the hour. That's what he's been doing all along, Pat. He works by the hour. And when he knows,
I don't have a problem with him working by the hour, but I'm concerned when we're talking about trying to dig up buckets of money and just offering them and saying, you know, is this enough yet? He's done this kind of work before. This should be kind of almost a rote process for him. He's familiar with our system. It seems like he could give us an idea what his fee would be to design a system for us.
He's got to look at it first, Pat.
Well, what do you mean by look at it?
He's got to come out, probably scope it out, start thinking in terms of where to put the chlorination facilities. And he can't do that by looking at that cartoon of the tank site that I gave him. He's got to probably come over and think about it and just where he's going to put the buildings. And
okay, so we could ask him right away, how soon could you come out if that's what he needs to do? How soon could you start a project for us, and what would your ballpark fee be?
Pat, you're trying to micromanage this whole thing. He has not, he is, we've dealt with him for almost a year, and he has not yet at any time overcharged us. And in fact, he's undercharged us. And I think we've built an element of trust where we can say, can you go ahead with this? We know what his hourly rate is, which happens to be about 2/3 of what other engineers charge. And can you take a look, start working on this for us? We've done that before with him, and he's never failed to come up with a reasonable fee.
He wouldn't be able to even, I think, estimate what the design cost would be until he has a chance to look it over. So I think, isn't that what you're saying, Beth?
Can we not just invite him out here and get that going?
Yeah.
I'm willing to authorize an hourly rate for him to come out here again.
We've already got an agreement with him, Pat. He's always charged us the same. Mm-hmm. And he would come out, look at it. He might even bring whomever or to help him take some on-site measurements. But I think he needs to do that before he can. I think we're saying the same thing now. We're in agreement.
I don't want us to be in a position where we're saying, okay, we have $50,000. What are you going to do?
No, that's
like we're proposing to do.
Well, that's true. You know, once we get the design, or if he gets into it and comes up with a really hard construction cost and his engineering bill, then we're going to be standing there and say, well, now how do we pay him? And so
are we paying him for anything other than the design? Are we going to have him manage the construction? Yeah. Or
we his fee, I've talked to him a couple times, and I think Pat was with me once, maybe Jim another time. But yeah, he manages the construction for us. He does, when a contractor submits a cost estimate, he'll review it for us, tell us it looks good, and we can go ahead and pay it, that kind of thing.
But the big bucks would actually be paying to the contractor who does the construction.
That's what I'm right? talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I just wanted to, in other words, Pat, we're not committing to pay the engineer $30,000
to $50,000. Oh, I understand that.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
I understand.
Pat is just saying that if we tell the engineer it's going to cost $50,000 to $60,000, then that's what the engineer is ultimately going to do. I think that's her fear.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
No, and that estimate came from him.
Well, if he's able to do an estimate of what a chlorination system would cost, then surely he must know what his fee is going to be from that to start designing the system.
Pat,
I think if we ask him that, we're just going to delay things, and I don't think we have the time to delay.
I have a question. So supposing we tell him to go ahead, and he says, okay, yeah, I can come up with some preliminary drawings for you, X thousand bucks, and we can take them to the state and get them approved. And once they're approved, he'll do the final construction drawings for another X thousand bucks. So what then? Where do we get the money?
In the same place we would be talking about getting it right now.
Where?
We have a savings account, and you also mentioned that are talking about foregoing the special projects group that was approved in the budget, right?
I told you guys that 2 months ago. I foregoed it. It's not something, and especially since Jim quit, that's money that's just sitting there now.
So those are the two resources that we have. We as Pat said, we have the savings account, and we also have money budgeted for special projects, which is, this would definitely be.
You know, all of this ties into the other two scope levels of scope I talked about. And Pat sent an email out today asking about looking at something having to do with general bonds. Am I correct, Pat? Asking for some numbers?
I asked Dan for a number. Yes.
Yeah.
A number.
So
which I couldn't come up with very readily. Okay.
That was disturbing to me because it makes me wonder why we're even still talking about bonds. I thought we were going to have to make a decision for a user-based fee and go get at some point in the next not too distant future, agree to a rate increase, maybe less if we do a reduced scope, but move forward with some kind of full construction on this. And if we do that, then when, by the time he's ready with those plans, we could, if we don't have the money approved, if we could at least make a pretty good case for what we've been trying to achieve or to get a loan or something. So I see us having to not only make authorization to get him going, but also be thinking pretty hard about looking at the total project, the tank only, or a tank and some of the distribution system, make a decision on what we want to do and move ahead with it. Is that ever going to happen?
I think that would be a good idea. Because the longer we don't make a decision about what project we're going to get going on, and the further off it becomes, and the more we're liable to have these things happen, like all of a sudden we might need to be doing the chlorination.
Yeah, getting him going is that keeps things moving, but ultimately it's just a stopgap to show our good faith to the state that we are moving
right
in positively. But at some point we're gonna have to pay the piper and have some money in our hand to pay for it.
So I guess the question I have for the board is, do you all feel ready to commit to a particular scope, full or partial? Or do you think we should, I'm not sure it's necessarily time wasted as long as it's not a long time, to get some more feedback from the community, let them know what we're thinking about, let them know the pros and cons of the different scopes.
Can I interrupt? We talked about that. And I think if we do that, I've been trying to do that, but okay, if we do that, let's pick some names out of the community and assign a board member 10 or 15 names that they have to go on out and tell them about what it is we want to do and why. Not just rely on that web page and
can't do that.
Meetings. They're not gonna come to the meeting. If that's what we have to do to spread the word, let's do it. Let's get with it.
Okay, who wants to divvy up the list?
Well, we haven't agreed on which direction we're going.
Yeah, we can't present them with two different options, guys. We have to make a unified front and say, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it.
Unless we want to see what would be most agreeable with the community. Maybe they they would choose to do a limited scope project over the full meal deal. I don't know.
Until we ask, we don't know.
Yeah. Right. We don't know until we discuss it.
So is the work that is going to be being done, is it transferable to either, I mean, are you doing things that once we decide could be used for the ultraviolet or the, I mean, yep. We have to get started on something, it sounds like, you know.
Right. Whatever we would start on now would need to have treatment options in it. Whether we do just the treatment option or we decide to go for treatment and part of the big project of replacing either tank or distribution system, or whether we go for the entire thing.
But you guys, when we apply for the loan, we can't apply for past work. So we can't include the chlorination or the UV in it.
Right. Unless we can get the state to let us wait on that.
Unless we can get them to wait. That's true.
Yeah.
And then we can roll it in, but otherwise we can't.
Right. They could be reasonable. But I don't know. We don't know until we ask.
You know, I like to make a general statement about those scopes. Everybody hones in on the cost of the scopes, but the actual content and how it'll affect the system is very important. And can I just very briefly run, we all know about what we've decided to do, and we're gonna replace, for the total scope, we're gonna replace the distribution system. That's easy to understand. And we're gonna put talking about putting a new tank in that'll give us more fire flow and more pressure in the system. Okay, the reduced scope with the tank only, that still has the same tank. And the reason, the thinking behind doing that is because the most at-risk component in the whole Otter Rock system is that existing tank. We could fix it probably for a lot less than what the new tank, well, not a lot less, but somewhat less than the new tank would cost, but we wouldn't derive some of the benefits that we get from the new tank. So the reduced scope, the old tank replacement or fixing, that all the work in that reduced scope would happen up at the tank site. And then the $1,200, you know, that number, I hate to monkey around with Jonathan's numbers, but I did. And what that includes is that trunk line, which is a huge cost. It's a huge part of that $1,200. And it includes meters, which we will need. And it includes some repair on the pipe bridge and some other stuff around the system. But the major cost in that is that trunk line, which is included to help fire flow. We could do without it, but these kinds of questions, none of you are asking me that. Nobody's asked me, what's the difference? Why did that reduced scope of just the tank only jump $500,000? What did you do, Buzz? What did you stick in there arbitrarily? Nobody's asking me those questions, and that really kind of frightens me. We're just looking at the cost, and I don't expect you guys to become water engineers, but I do expect some feedback about, you know, take a look at what's being proposed, and everything's on that scope of work that Jonathan presented. And so I'll shut up. I think I've said what I want to say. The cost is one thing, but you guys have to start wondering about why the difference between some of the distribution system and the, just doing the tank by itself. I'm not getting any of that. Dan asked questions like that, but that's about it.
Well, you listed it out. In that.
Yeah, but nobody asked me. I said the trunk line. Nobody said why. I said it would help fire flow.
Mm-hmm. You did.
Fire flow now.
Right.
I do. I have a question. I have been looking at a combination of the tank site only plus the distribution system.
Okay.
That combination. And I see that there are engineering, admin, mobilization, and contingency costs in there twice if I look at both parts. So that would be somewhat redundant, right?
Wait a minute, Pat. Twice? They're in both?
Well, the tank replacement is included in the $1.2 million scope project.
Yeah.
Right? And there are, those costs are repeated in there.
Yeah.
As if they were separate. So some of that is an overlap.
Well, if you do one or the other, then you have to include all those percentages, Pat.
Well, I'm looking at it because I think, other than doing the whole project, that's the least we should do.
What?
The $1.2 million project.
Okay.
That includes chlorination, that includes the worst parts of our piping, and the tank.
That trunk line is not the worst part of our piping. It's being replaced with a bigger line to improve fire flow.
Okay. Yes, it says that there.
And we would still, if we put the tank in and didn't, just the tank in and didn't put the trunk line in, we'd still get some improvement in fire flow. But you can run, which, yeah.
I'm not asking you to change that, Buzz.
I know.
I'm not
suggesting
that you change it.
I know. What I'm saying.
I would support the $1.2 million option or the whole project. I think that's where we really should go, but I don't think we're going to get the money for that in any way. The other side of the question for me is, who's going to pay for this either way? Are we going to dump this all on our ratepayers, on our small number of ratepayers, or are we going to find a way to charge everyone who owns property in Otter Rock?
Well, that's going to take a long time. And it, from what I'm getting from the people that have been looking at it, I guess Dan and Dale, that it's questionable about whether there's any benefit to going with the general bond obligation. Am I correct in that, Dan?
As I look at the figures, I don't know, to be honest with you, I'm not entirely clear what a typical home value is here, but until you get to a very low taxable value, it's more expensive to the owner of that home to pay the bond that spreads a little bit out to the people that own lots and so forth than it is to just go with the people that are customers splitting it up with the rate. And the biggest reason for that is just the math involved in the difference in interest rates. I mean, there's a little additional cost, you know, there's the additional cost of the bond measure and the bond fees and all that kind of stuff. But the really big difference, as I see it, is the difference between those, significant difference between those two interest rates over that many years. And I too, originally, way back when we weren't even talking real, you know, numbers yet, thought, well, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we could spread this out amongst every, you know, all the property owners in the district? Wouldn't that be less expensive than to a full-time resident here in the community? But when I ran the numbers, it's actually more expensive for someone that's got $150,000, $200,000 home, $100,000, you know, whatever, to do it by the bond route rather than the loan route. Just but primarily it's because of that significant difference in the interest rate. The interest rate is just a lot higher with the bond.
Well, it's a difference because of the assessed value of the property.
Yes.
If you have a house on it, your value is a whole lot. So all these people that have vacant lots, they're not going to end up paying much if there was a bond like that.
Right.
It would be all the people who have houses who are the rate are the customers anyway.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Right, and there aren't very many houses here that people live in that are that much under 200,000 in assessed value. There's a few, and most of them are well over that.
Yeah, and so that.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
The only thing that I see as advantage to the bond is what you do pay in taxes, you get to write off. What you do pay in the bond, you get to write off in your taxes.
Maybe. If you write off anything on your taxes.
Exactly.
If you itemize, and there'll be a few
but with the new tax setup, a lot of people aren't itemizing anymore.
She's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're still itemizing.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Some of those little guys aren't.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is the loan route actually turns out to be cheaper for customers that live here than the bond route. Just because of the realities of the differences in the assessed value.
My only other concern about a bond versus a loan is the bond puts the onus on the county to collect the amount of money that needs to be collected to pay for the monthly payment on the project. Whereas otherwise we are depending on our ratepayers to keep paying in order, even after their rates are raised, and make sure we have the funds to pay the bills when they come due. Right now we are seeing kind of a spike in late payments and overdue payments, and that has me a bit concerned. We have really, because we have few water meters, we have very little control to shut off water if people aren't paying. So
we can, but it's risky.
We risk having a water leak or a break in the system.
Right.
Okay. So.
Yeah, we're not the only ones. This is being experienced all over the country, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is, and it's probably a continuing trend. But.
Right. And there are some states that have moratoriums on shutoffs, and Oregon is not one of those. They asked for a voluntary moratorium from utilities. So
Okay.
We can go do that, I guess. But.
I'm willing to make a motion that we look at the $1.2 million project as the project we will pursue that includes planning for chlorination, that includes the new tank, which we badly need, and 100 meters, the rest of the system would be metered. So I'm making that motion right now. Then we can get going with Jonathan.
Let's second that motion with a caveat. If we vote favorably on it, let's do it with the understanding that we can tell Jonathan, look, we're ready to spend $1.2 million, which is approximately a third of the total. We definitely want the tank. We definitely want the meters. And we need some elements in the distribution system. Can you put together another cost for us and tell us what we could get for that $1.2 million. And he can do that fairly quickly. And we could lay it out. Everything would have his blessing. It wouldn't be me cherry picking his numbers. And when he's ready with that, we can decide if we want to go forward and apply for a loan and make a motion to get the money however we deem. Apparently, do whatever we have to do to move forward with that number.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I don't know if we take out less of a loan if we're going to pay in higher interest rates. And we're all assuming that if we pay the $1.2 million, that we're going to pay the same interest rate that we would at 3.5. It's not necessarily the case in finance.
Hadn't heard that before. Okay.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
For 100% sure what our interest rate is going to be. So I don't want to, I want to put that out there.
True.
In space.
Lisa, we would be waiting several months or longer possibly once we applied for a loan to find out if they will even consider us, right?
That depends on which route we take. The federal loan, the one, the Oregon.gov,
right,
is the one we have to pre-apply. And that's the one that can take up to 6 months for them to even look at the application. And after they look at the application, then we can apply for the loan. The state loan, the one through the lottery, we can do that today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's just wham, bam, you know, straight through.
Okay.
So what
sounds to me like a viable option, Lisa?
What?
The state loan, the wham, bam one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I because I've been in finance, you know, sometimes, you know, we get the great interest rates because we're loaning more money. And yes. And that's just, you know, so I don't know until we ask what the interest rate is going to be if we get this reduced scope. And I don't want us just to assume that we're going to be paying this low interest rate.
Mm-hmm. All right. I second that motion with that reservation that we just, the motion is to take that number to Jonathan and say, hey, give us an estimate. What can you do with this amount of money?
So we're asking him,
wait,
what can he do for this money?
Wait.
I thought
we did that.
I thought this estimate of 1.2 million, you have pulled that number off of his the estimate he already gave us, right?
I was monkeying around with his numbers. I pulled them out. I did some fast and loose things. I said it 50 times. It's a ballpark number.
Right.
And so, the engineer needs to.
Okay.
Said that.
I get that we don't know exactly. I guess what rubs me the wrong way is we're saying we're giving him the goal line without asking him to give us the number and saying, this is what we want you to do. Boom, boom, boom. Five things.
What
is your final estimate for these five things?
I think that's what we would be doing, isn't it?
I don't know.
What I thought we were talking about is rather than throwing a number at him, we're saying, can you give us a firmer estimate for this particular reduced scope?
Yeah.
Am I misunderstanding
that's what I understood. I mean, that's what you always do. You never go to someone and say, I have this much money to spend. What can I get for it?
if that's not the way we're doing it, I withdraw my motion.
So I think, Buzz, what the rest of us are asking for is to ask him, you know, you took the estimate that he gave us and pulled some things out of it so he could give us a ballpark, right?
You know what, you guys? It's a moving target.
Yes, it is.
He made that, there's $300,000 or $400,000 in there for that trunk line.
Mm-hmm.
We may, and I'd like you to, two of us can go and talk to him and sit down and talk and say, look, this is kind of the ballpark we're looking at, about 1.2, give or take. It's a moving target. Here's that trunk line. This is what it's going to cost. I put all the fire hydrants and fittings with it. It's a pretty good estimate. Do we really need that? And he may want to run a couple of more fire flow numbers and double check it and talk to the fire chief. And that number, it won't go up, I can guarantee you that, but he may want to take that money and put it somewhere else in the system if he thinks that line. It's just, he's got something to start with, and he can fool around and do some things in the distribution system, run some calculations, do whatever, and say, you know, I think if you guys do this, you'll get a pretty good, you'll have a pretty good partial system.
I've been waiting to ask a question about the reduced scope. When you and I met with him most recently, he did suggest that we might want to look at a scope that at least in addition to the trunk line, replaced the other AC distribution lines, just so that we got rid of that in our system. Is that going to run? Will that just run it astronomically too high?
We continued with that discussion and thought that it was really hard to do, Dan.
Okay.
Really hard to do, and. Yeah, I don't, the trunk line is, there's no connections on that trunk line.
Okay.
It's out of the way, and he's got it set up where to be drilled underground without opening a trench, not tearing up a minimum amount of asphalt, but it's 8-inch line and it's polyethylene and it's expensive. And if it's in pretty good shape, and what we're still going to get a boost on our fire flow. He just needs, you know, he's talking and saying, yeah, you guys might want to include that trunk line. But when he sees the number, how big a chunk of that $1.2 million is, he may scratch his head and say, well, let me think about that. That's all I'm saying. The board is willing to go with a reduced scope more than the tank, possibly a third. Let's say $1.2 million. Can you take a look at it? And can we agree? Can we take a look and see what we can do with that money? It may be less. I really apologize, but this is not accounting, and it's not even bridge building. It's weighing a bunch of factors, and part of it's having a crystal ball and running some numbers, and he just has to think about it. And if we can give him the $1.2 million number, say we're kind of soft on that, that might be something we can afford. I think he may be able to move forward with it. And he may, you know, when I tell him that, he may agree with all you guys. No, let's do this, this, and this, and here's what's going to cost. Wham, bam. Half hour's work, fine if it does. But I'm thinking maybe he'll want to chew on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would like to withdraw my motion at this point. What I would like to say instead is, I would like to move that the items that are listed under tank site scope and tank site with elements of the distribution system, that those items that are listed, those specific ones on this document you gave us, Buzz.
Okay.
We would say, we want to go ahead with those and we want you to give us a price for them.
All right.
Please.
Yeah. I second that.
Was that a motion? Pat, were you making?
I made a motion. Yes.
That was, you were making a motion with that?
For those specific items that are right. Already listed here.
Okay. And Dan, you're seconding that?
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Can we, is it open for discussion or are we going to vote on it?
Oh, no, we have to discuss.
Pat, are those items cast in concrete? Or can he look at them and run some numbers and maybe come up with something better? We know that, okay, the tank site work stands by itself. I don't think there's any issue with that tank site work. That's pretty easy. It's,
right.
It's when we start adding stuff from the distribution system that it gets murky.
Well, so, I would hope that there'd be some discussion back and forth and where we get the most bang for the buck.
Yes, yes.
Right, and I would expect he might say, oh, well, if you're gonna do that, you might need to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, not knowing anything about engineering, but you know.
What he did say was, suggests the trunk line, he did suggest the meters. He said those two are important.
Bodies on.
And I threw in the blow off valves, and I also threw in the repair on the
bridge,
pipe bridge. Yeah,
right. And then this also includes a possible water treatment.
Yeah,
module.
Yeah, I put in actually I put in 30,000 when I on the whole estimate. Because I had mentioned that if we could get some spring flow, when I was talking about that 60,000, if we could get some spring flow, and also the multipliers for engineering and anything else weren't in there. So I just, they were in, the standalone $60,000 didn't have that, but all the tank site, just tank site only, and the tank site with distribution, that already had the other stuff in it. So I just put $30,000. I just put the $30,000 in.
Let me ask this. You had a tank site only scope that your ballpark figure was 0.7 million.
And those are right out of his numbers with the exception of $30,000 for the...
Yeah, distribution. I got that. And then your tank site with elements of distribution system ballpark 1.2 million includes everything above plus the additional below the tank site?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
The trunk line, the meters, the pipe
strings,
and blow off valves.
Yeah, but it includes the stuff at the top.
What, Pat?
Excuse me. I would like to ask, I guess, one more question. That has to do with the fire hydrant. I thought we were originally talking about needed to replace all 11 of our. How are you feeling about that?
Let me digress. When the first day Cody was over here training, we went around and blew down all those hydrants. And there was one that was really hard to turn on and turn off. But the rest of them turned on and off. Well, Cody's a pretty strong kid, but he got them all on and off. They looked okay to me. The only hydrant I replaced is on that trunk line. It needed a hydrant right across the street, right near where the old hydrant is online. It was going to be replacing. So I replaced one hydrant.
Because it was on that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the clarification. Yeah.
Okay. So, I just wondered why we had changed that scope. So
Pat, the short answer is, I don't know how bad those other hydrants are.
And can you change them when you're not changing the line that they're on? I mean, might run into extra problems, right?
Yeah, Jim said it would be really hard to change. I don't think they would change out the hydrant. They just abandon it and put another one next to it. And cutting into that AC line.
Right.
What Jim said would be something that could be quite involved.
Perhaps if we find out what our actual further study number ends up to be, maybe we can add a couple more hydrants back in or the rest of them.
Precisely. That's exactly. Okay. You just don't want to fence him in too much on, tell him about how much we've got. This is what we're thinking.
No, Buzz, no. That's the problem. We don't want to tell them how much we have.
Yeah,
we want to give them a list.
Yeah, we do.
We just give them a list, Buzz, and then we see how much it is.
I'm sorry. I disagree with that. We can tell them we think we can handle about a third of the, I don't have to say $1,200 or $1.2 million, but.
Good.
We can tell him, well, why all the mystery? Just tell him a third of what the $3.35 million was.
Because I want to see his numbers from the projects we want him to do.
What do you think he's going to do? Jack the price up? And
no, I really don't, because I've met and talked with him, and I feel like he's a very straightforward and honest guy. However, it's just not the way business is done.
Well, that's the way I do it.
Okay, well, there are five of us, and we'll decide that.
Well, maybe you should go talk to him, Pat. You're not a treasurer right now. Maybe that's a new job for you.
I'll be glad to talk to him again.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
I would like a letter sent to him or a formal letter. We would like you to estimate these projects for us. And we do know from talking to him in the past that he has tried to include the possibility of cost overruns on to some degree in his bid.
Yeah, he's got a lot of that in there.
Well,
yeah, he does.
Let's find out how much of a slush fund there is then.
Well, I know.
It's right there. It's even the percentages of what those can,
yeah,
those costs are right there in the most recent list he gave us.
Well, yeah, they have to do some of that.
Yes.
Of course.
Right.
So my motion is that we send him this list and ask him to finalize numbers as much as he can and come back to us with it.
No wiggle room on the list, is that what you're saying?
We can wiggle after we see what the total is.
No, I'm sorry.
And why would that be?
Because he's an engineer and he may have a better idea.
Well, then he
can run. He can run.
Would he not present that to us?
I beg your pardon?
Would he not come back and say, look, you know, we originally talked about doing it this way, but now I see we could do it better this way. Wouldn't he do that? I believe he would.
No, you kind of, I don't know. I'm getting tired. Is this meeting going to last? Are we going to, we've got the bottom line. We're going to authorize him to design the chlorination system so it will be compatible with anything we do in the future. And we're going to approach him with this numberless list and say, let's just do this, this, and this. And then we'll go back and forth with him five or six times and say, no, we've changed our mind. We want to do this, this, and this because we can't afford it. Oh, no, wait a minute. Now we can't convince everybody. Now we've got to do this, this, and this. I think if you let him design a system for us and let him know how much you have to spend, he'll come up with a nice round number for you. Yeah, a nice.
I think some of the semantics here are tripping us up.
I think you're right, Dan. Yeah.
So it's not like we've got this much to spend. We can just say we'd rather, you know, in this ballpark. So, you know, we don't have any money to spend actually until we
we sure
apply for the loan. But I think we're talking across purposes here a little bit. I think if we just say, you know, this is what these are the kinds of things we'd like to see if in a reduced scope project with a ballpark amount of 1.2, whatever number you want to do.
Or a third.
Or a third, like you said. I mean, I think we're just nitpicking about semantic differences here, really.
Right.
I'm not nitpicking.
No. We're going, you're assuming that we're going to present him this list and say, you can only do this. And
yeah.
I don't think anybody's saying that. Are we?
No.
I don't think so.
No. We're not.
Can we also include with that just the knowledge that we may need the chlorination or water treatment system earlier and that we might need to do that ahead of time?
No, there's no maybe about it, Beth.
Well, okay. But included that, it's included in your list, so I'm assuming we're including it, but the request would be that we need to know what this could cost. We may need to start this right away.
Since there's a strong likelihood that we may have, that the state won't let us wait until we do our infrastructure project.
That's the interesting part. I just regurgitate what I think you just said, Dan? We go to him, we're pretty sure we want to go with everything at the tank site.
Yeah.
Including some kind of chemical treatment.
Okay? Right.
And we think we can afford a little bit more than what you have down for the tank site. You talked about a new trunk line. You talked about meters. You talked about maybe blow off lines, repairing this kind of thing.
Yes.
What can we do? We're thinking about maybe a third of the, we can afford more than what's involved with the tank site.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
And we want to make, you know, do what makes sense to be done along with the tank, right?
Yeah.
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 Okay, is that phrasing okay with you, Pat?
Guess not.
How about if Buzz, would you like to draft the letter after, if we pass this motion? Draft a letter and we'll review it and send it to them. We could do it tomorrow.
I'm slammed, Pat, this week.
Okay, well.
Well, can we just take this and take the dollars out of it?
How about Dan? Dan, I work.
Can I
talk to Jonathan? I've talked to Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I think we could draft a letter. Mm-hmm. And then, Buzz, you could look at it and
right.
say.
Yeah, okay. let us do the letter, and then you can look at it and see if it's if you're okay with it.
And then that letter, that instruction to him becomes the basis of the letter to the state about getting going with chlorination to ask for a delay.
Okay. That sound okay, Buzz? Yeah?
Yeah, I think, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Woo.
So I can...
Can we vote on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Pat, would you like... Do we need to restate it, or do you think we hashed it out well enough?
Say it
for the secretary to get in the minutes.
Say it one more time, Dan.
Pardon me? I didn't hear you, Buzz.
I'd ask Dan to say it one more time. He said it once already.
So as I understand it, what we've hashed out is that we are going to ask the engineer, Jonathan, to give us an estimated project cost. Is that the right way to say it, Buzz?
Yeah.
For a reduced scope project that includes the tank improvements, the trunk line, the blow-off valves, what are we going to call the bridge?
The bridge.
The bridge.
The meter.
The pipe bridge.
Meters.
Meters. Tank spring. Chlorination.
And chlorination facility. Yeah, that's part of the tank farm, and that. That we'd like to see if we can get that done for roughly a third of the total project estimate. Does that sound
like and that? Maybe, okay. Maybe with the caveat that any modifications of the scope of work that you may see cost effective would be
sure. Okay. Great.
And that the chlorination project has lately become our immediate priority to see some numbers, hard numbers on.
Okay.
It's smoky out there, babe.
It's really smoky. I can smell it.
Smoky.
My house.
Here?
Yes.
Okay.
Really.
All right.
Okay. Pat, are you okay with those amendments to the motion?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Dan, yes.
Pat?
Yes.
Buzz?
Yep.
Lisa?
I still want the whole enchilada, so I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Beth, I'll vote yes. So that's four yeas and one nay. Motion passes. Anything else we need to do tonight? Anything else we need to discuss?
Do we want to try to do anything about these people burning open fires over on Nelly?
Call the sheriff.
Unfortunately, that's not the water district's purview.
There's a fire ban on anything that's open.
I know. Yeah. They've been told. They've been told, and we've left a recording The only way you get in touch with the fire department is a recording right now.
You have to call the non-emergency phone number and they will route it through their people. And I already did it, but you know.
Yeah, they probably got other.
They got bigger fish to fry than us. And all the campfires and the parking, when they're not supposed to be parking. Don't get me started.
Okay.
Okay, great. I think we're done, folks. Thanks, everyone, for attending.
Buzz, you should be jumping for joy.
Who? What?
Buzz should be jumping for joy.
I have one last question. Are we giving up contacting? Oh, we're done?
No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Are we giving up on notifying the community of anything?
We are notifying the community. Did you not get your email?
No. Talking about what's gonna might possibly happen. Are we not gonna do that now?
Well, we still have to do that. We can't sneak in on her.
Yeah, we're still doing that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And we're still doing the mailing, but it's a nasty week because we're coming up on billing week. So
yeah, no, that's fine. I just wasn't sure. And the fires on Nelly, call the sheriff. I've called the sheriff numerous times, and today they ticketed so many people in the parking lot. So it is worth a call to the sheriff about the burning.
Right. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Patty.
Now that we have a motion passed and a plan in place, then now we can talk to people in the community about this because we have a list to show them.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yep. We'll have it back with numbers on it here pretty quick.
Right. Very shortly. This shouldn't take long at all.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're done, guys.
Okay.
We will be meeting again next Tuesday for our regular monthly meeting, September 15th at 6 o'clock. So join us again, folks. And I will now adjourn the meeting.
And I will stop recording.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Thanks, guys.